Our text for this morning is taken from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, where our Lord addresses his church. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It's good in public speaking to sort of pander to your audience. So I'm going to begin with a compliment to our Bethany students today. I'm passing on a compliment to you that I heard a few years ago when I was talking to somebody who is not really part of the Bethany community, who manages a number of restaurants in the Mankato area. And he said this to me when he found out I was an instructor at Bethany. I tell all of my supervisors, if you see the name Bethany on an application, hire them. And I said, well, that's nice to hear. Why do you say that? He said, because all the students that we've ever had come work for us from Bethany have been very dependable and honest and very easy to work with. They seem to be just very good workers. And I said, well, why do you think that makes, why would Bethany students be any different than other institutions in town? And he said, I think it's because of Christianity and because of what you teach there. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven, and the Son, of course, whom he has sent for our salvation. The words that Jesus gives us in our text were addressed specifically to believers, to those who by his grace have come to a knowledge of him as our Savior. People who have come to see and understand about ourselves that there's no hope in us to ever get ourselves to heaven. Just look at our lives. Think of the sins that we have. But because of what Christ has come, shedding his blood, rising again from the grave, and through faith in him and by his grace and mercy alone, we have the hope of going to heaven. This is now the light that has come into the world and into your heart and mine through faith in that Savior. God has called us out of darkness, Peter says, into this marvelous light. And it is truly a marvelous light. The good works that we do as Christians have nothing to do with why we go to heaven. And yet at the same time, what Jesus is reminding us is that that God may use those very good works that he works inside of us to draw others to the light of Christ so that they can come to heaven. One church father years ago used to use the illustration that Christ is like the sun, which is the source of all light for the earth. And we, as believers, are like the moon that reflect that light of Christ back into the darkness of our world. Now, our Lord Jesus speaks disparagingly of those who might take this wonderful light of the truth that they have through faith in him and foolishly suppress that light in their lives and the light that it provides to other people, just like a lamp that can be placed underneath a bushel basket. What good is that? This kind of activity in the life of a Christian can actually cause harm to the gospel. Listen to one commentator. He says, to paraphrase, a dull and darkened Christianity, a lethargic and apathetic group that bears the name of Christ, will create more unbelievers than all the books of heretics ever written. This is why Christ exhorts his saints of light, let your light so shine. And we certainly live in a world that is full of darkness all around us. Christianity has been systematically excommunicated from our culture. It has been torn out of academic institutions of higher learning for the most part. But should we expect anything different from a world that spits at our Savior, whips him, beats him, and puts him to death? Should we expect anything different from a world of darkness that so boldly stands with the devil to contradict everything about the kingdom of God? Light is meant for a place where there is darkness, and where it can have the greatest impact, the greatest purpose, if you will. Think about a rancher that owns a huge ranch out, let's say, in Montana, and strategically sends workers out to place light poles on certain spots of that ranch to make sure that certain areas receive the light. God, our Heavenly Father, has taken you as a child of light, given you the gift of faith in Christ, and He now places you in particular places in the world. He doesn't just do this at random. This isn't just haphazard that you are where you are. God specifically places you where you are because He has a blueprint and a plan for your life in the future of how He's going to use your talents, your relationships, your abilities, the very skills that you have, the opportunities that will fall into your life. God has planned these out very specifically so that your light can shine in the darkness of this wicked and evil world. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that awesome? That your life as a believer in Christ, God has prepared you for what's coming in your future because He has very specific ways of how He wants to shine His light into the evil of this world by you and by how you treat people, how you talk to people, and how you live. And one fact remains unchanged. That is this, that this dark world needs the light that God provides through us. The Greek here, one commentator says, could actually be rendered like this: you and you alone are the light. In other words, who else is going to shine in this world if you don't? When the children of darkness around us take the path of selfishness, may we, the children of light, be the ones to take the path of self-sacrifice. When the children of darkness ridicule marriage and the things of God's kingdom, may the children of light be the ones that speak well of His blessings. When the children of darkness call for hatred and animosity, may we, the children of light, be the peacemakers. When the children of darkness are living for the material goods of this life and the pleasures of this world, may we, the children of light, provide evidence that God has much greater treasures waiting for us because of our Lord. When I was a little boy, I used to love times when I'd be riding in the car with my dad very late at night out in the country when it's super dark out, if you've ever seen that. And if you turned off your headlights, you just don't know where you'd go. When it's really, really dark. And have you ever seen on a night when there's a low level of clouds and you can see the glow of cities and little towns up on the clouds? I used to think that was so cool when I was a kid. And we would try to guess which towns were which. Some of them you knew because of their size as you were getting closer to them. And there was something alluring about that light. There's something alluring about seeing that in the darkness as a place you'd like to go to and a place where you'd like to be. That's how it is with the gospel working in the lives of Christians in this world. Listen to what Johannes Ilvesacker says, the father of the guy that we named our building after. He says, "The world will not only hear beautiful words from lips of believers, but they will also see their good deeds," and then I love this line, "which shows that an influence holds sway in their hearts." That's awesome. Which shows that an influence, a divine influence, holds sway in their hearts. That's why this is important. Just this past week on Facebook, somebody sent out a blog that was by an atheist comparing Islam and Christianity. And here's somebody who doesn't even believe in God. But if you read that article, it's amazing the praise that he still gives back to God. Because of the teachings of Christianity. Never underestimate how God the Holy Spirit might use you as a light in the darkness of the generation that you're living in. A generation that's looking for purpose and groping around and not knowing where to find it. Francis Schaeffer said this, "You can say as a Christian, the dust of death is not on everything. There is real meaning that stretches out forever and ever into the future. And you can say to yourself as a Christian," he says, "I am significant and my kind needs the message that I know." There's a beautiful line in the baptismal order when the pastor says about this little child as the child's being blessed before baptism, that God has called you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints of light. That's like one of the coolest statements in the whole hymn book. God has called you through Christ to be an inheritance, to partake in the inheritance of the saints of light. The deeper the darkness grows around us in our world and the fewer lights that there may be in our culture that are shining, that just means the more important each one of those fewer lights must become. A lot of times we may feel alone and isolated in this corrupt age, but the promise of the source of all light and truth remains the same. When it comes to his church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God be praised. Amen. Please join me in a prayer. I ask you to take out your hymn book and turn to page 157. Page 157. Prayer number 79. It's actually a prayer at the Sunday of Pentecost. Let us rise and pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty Son of God, we beseech you, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word, that he may rule and govern us according to your will, comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us that by your truth against every error, so that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and firmly trusting in your grace, which you purchased for us by your death, obtain eternal salvation. For you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.